So in this episode, we will discuss Derrida's structure, strain, and play. In structure, strain, and play, Derrida's endeavor might be seen as threefold: to characterize certain features of Western metaphysics as issuing from the fundamental concepts of center and structure. Second is to announce an event whereby their central notions were challenged using the work of the structuralist anthropologist Levi-Strauss as an example. And third is to suggest the ways in which current and future modes of thought and language might deploy and adapt Levi-Strauss's insights in articulating their own relation to metaphysics. According to Derrida, the concept of structure that has dominated Western science and philosophy have always been referred to as a center or a point of presence, a fixed origin. The function of such a center has been both to organize the structure and to limit the free play of terms and concepts within it. To foreclose such play, the center itself is fixed and escapes structurality. Hence, the center is outside the structure, and hence, the centered structure is only a self-contradiction. What it expresses is a desire for a reassuring certitude. The center, that which gives stability, unity, and closure to the structure, can be conceived as an origin or a purpose or a full presence. Derrida suggests that the history of Western metaphysics can be viewed as the history of this concept of structure, which various philosophies substituting one center for another. The successive centers have received different metaphorical names: Plato's form, Aristotelian substance, concepts of truth, God, man. Each of these concepts has served as a center, as a transcendental signified, stabilizing a given system of thought or worldview. Derrida announces an event which has begun to disrupt these Western metaphysics. The event signifies the moment when, in the absence of a center or origin, everything becomes discourse. It was a moment language was understood as a system of differences. The concept of God, for instance, moves from being a reality beyond language to a concept within language. It becomes discourse. And the systems of thought that are dependent on the understanding of God as a reality become decentered, losing their former stability and authority. Derrida suggests the names of Nietzsche, Freud, Heidegger as the decentering thinkers, though they are critics of metaphysics, were caught in the circle of metaphysics. In the 19th century, European human sciences were on the retreat from Eurocentrism. Derrida chooses the work of the French structural anthropologist Levi-Strauss's treatment of an opposition between nature and culture. Derrida points out that Levi-Strauss's research has entailed both the need to use this opposition and the impossibility of accepting it. Levi-Strauss defines nature as encompassing what is universal and spontaneous, whereas culture comprehends what is relative, variable, and dependent on a system of social norms. But Levi-Strauss' encounter is a scandalous threat to this opposition in the notion of insist prohibition. This notion refuses to conform to either side of the opposition, since it is both a norm and universal, thereby combining characteristics of both culture and nature. Derrida extends this nature-culture opposition to the entire conceptual system of philosophy. So this is an example of the fact that language bears within itself the necessity of its own critic. This critic of language can follow two broad paths. One, to question the founding concepts of the entire history of philosophy, to deconstitute them. Second path is to conserve the old concepts, denying them any truth value, to preserve as an instrument
whose truth value is criticized. So this is how the language of the social sciences criticizes itself. Lévi-Strauss articulates a discourse based on bricolage. Bricolage means that we use any instrument we find at our disposal, instruments that are not designed for our specific purposes and which we may have to adapt or abandon on the basis of trial and error. Derrida sees the procedure of bricolage as a critique of language, even a critical language itself. Yet again, however, he extends the implications of this strategy. If bricolage involves the need to borrow one's concepts from every heritage, one is challenging. Every discourse is bricolage. The opposite of a bricolage is the engineer who images the whole and then executes the parts. But as far as discourse is concerned, such an engineer is a myth. He must work with his limited rules. According to Lévi-Strauss, bricolage is a mythic force. It makes myth. What does this mean? Derrida explains that Lévi-Strauss's discourse on myth reflects on itself, criticizes itself. Based on bricolage, it attempts to abandon all reference to a sender, a subject, to a privileged reference, or to an origin. His discourse is decentered. In order to express this decentered notion of myth, Lévi-Strauss' discourse on myth can itself be a myth. Science is said to be empirical. It is the structure of the institutions like language that enable individual experience. There is no totalization possible. Language is a field of play. This moment of play is a moment of supplementarity, where there is no sender, there is a play. The play exists in tension with the concept of history and concept of presence. History is a moment between two presences. What is becoming is reduced to being in order to unify it. There is no tension between play and presence. Play is the disruption of presence. It is a play of absence and presence, but it pre-exists both. What we want in Nietzsche is affirmation of the play of the world, of a world of science without fault, without truth, without origin. This affirmation plays without security. In conclusion, Derrida states that there are two interpretations of interpretation, of structure, of sign, and of play. The one dreams of arriving at a truth or origin which escapes play and the order of the sign. The other, which no longer turned towards the origin, affirms play and tries to pass beyond man and humanism. Man being he who has dreamed of full presence, the reassuming foundation, the origin and the end of the play. These two interpretations are absolutely irreconcilable, and our current task is to chart both common ground and the difference of their irreducible differences.